You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are kicking off hour number two. I'm just asking you this, Conrad. Do you think we can top hour number one? Oh, he's getting a call. What, you know, we get calls, Bob, but I think Conrad's just doing that.
I was just thinking to myself, I see people do that. I saw Michael Jordan do that one time in Chicago where he walked through. Well, he was walking through. He was going into a restaurant. Oh. And he didn't want people to bother him. And he just picked up his phone and pretend. And I looked at it. The screen wasn't lit. There wasn't anything going on. Not that I was going to talk to him, but.
He might have been listening to your Urban Legends and Stranger Truth podcast.
I think he's probably got better things to do than that.
Sorry, that was my dry cleaning.
Your dry cleaning. What year is this? 1971? Conrad is a dry cleaner. Bob Dennis is my guest. You can hear his podcasts, Urban Legends and Stranger Truths, and he also has a podcast called Mob and Mafia News. He is here in studio. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite baseball movie? Lots of baseball stuff happening this week. In terms of history, anyway, we've had this is the week that The Sandlot dropped. And they didn't say dropped, though, back when that movie came out. It was released. And then in 1989, Major League. And, of course, the documentary Just a Bit Outside will be streaming soon, and we'll have some information on that Friday when Sean Hannish joins us. But what is your favorite baseball movie? That is the question we're asking tonight. I would say A League of Their Own. And
I'm in love with Gina Davis, just so you know.
Are you? Yeah. Did you ever see The Long Kiss Goodnight?
That's kind of a personal question, Pete. I don't know that you should be asking that on air. But
how often do you and your wife? No, I'm just kidding. I would never ask those questions of you.
Yes, Bob. you would, but not on air.
Yeah, I would. I like to make things uncomfortable. But if you love Gina Davis,
yes,
check out the movie Long Kiss Goodnight. She is just, it's total badassery. She's really good in it. we'll have a few more minutes here with Bob, and then Mike Mercury will be joining us over the stream from Madison, Madison-based comedian and writer. All kinds of fun stuff happening here tonight on Nightlight. Bob, I'm trying to figure out where I want to go here because, as usual, I have so many things I want to ask you. Let's start with the structure of the mob because you sent me this thing. It's the mafia, the mob, the syndicate. In Chicago, it's called the outfit. There's the cartels and then street gangs. How does all of that work?
Okay. Very simple. We know what the mafia is. We know how it exists primarily because we've seen the movies. So I don't really need to get into a real deep report on that. It's just you have a godfather or a boss who has a consigliere. It's his person that he can just counsel with, of course. And then beneath him is an underboss. Underneath that, and the underboss runs everything. The underboss is the buffer between the godfather and everybody else so that if something happens, he has deniable culpability. Okay. And then underneath him are the capo regimes, which just basically means the head of the regimes, the guys who are in charge of the different divisions of the family. And then beneath them will be the soldiers who are out on the streets and doing all the work.
The street crew?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a thing. Like, I know, and I'm getting all my knowledge here from movies, but
that's all right.
It's kind of a big deal, A, to be part of a street crew, then to run a street crew, and then it's capo, right? You're a captain. Mm-hmm. And then would the next step up from there be underboss?
Yes, but you would have to off somebody to get to that point.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's not something that you would be able to. They would either have to die naturally or something would have to happen to them for you to be able to move up. It's kind of like movie reference in The Godfather. Clemenza, quote unquote, dies.
Right.
And Frankie Five Fingers comes up and moves up into that position then next. Clemenza had to die for him in order to move up to be able to head up that part of the family.
Right. So. And in terms of being like a made guy, like we say, like in Goodfellas, you can't touch him. He's a made guy.
Yeah.
Is that, are guys in street crews made guys, or is it only when you become a capo? Can anyone be a made guy?
Well, a made guy is somebody who is made means you made your bones.
Right.
You've had to do something that has contributed to the mafia organization and improve them financially as well as protective wise. So you can be a street soldier for years and years and never be anything but a street soldier. And you would not necessarily be a made guy. A made guy is another step up. You're the made guy is one step before going up to the next level of running his own small unit within the family.
Okay. Wow. So
it's very structured.
Yeah. Of all those positions, what's the least stressful? Where are you least likely to get an ice pick to the neck?
As the consigliere is about the only thing. Anybody who's really on the streets or involved in anything to do with family business is subject to being offed.
Yeah, I know that. But, like, I mean, if you're earning money for them, you're probably somewhat insulated. Like let's say in Goodfellas, Jimmy Conway, played by De Niro, he could never be a made guy because he was half Irish, like Ray Liotta. But they were good earners. They made so much money and paid Paul Cicero's character, Paulie. Are they, I know they're not, they can be offed and they don't even need permission because they're not made guys.
Right.
But you still have to get that order from someone, right? Like if someone's making you a lot of money, aren't they somewhat protected?
They're protected, but they really are a freelancer. They're like a franchise.
Okay.
They're bringing you the money and they're paying you the dues, but, you know, they're getting back from the family as well.
So, okay.
You know, they're being told this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You can make a boost here or whatever.
I'd love to be a made guy. What do you think my chances are?
Not real good.
Just as a radio host, or because I'm just
radio
a nice
guys
guy?
Just tend to not. We talk too much.
Yeah, so. My mob nickname would be the Big Softy. Like I could, I don't think I could ever off some. I give him another chance. I just don't have that killer
instinct.
That
doesn't happen.
You don't think so?
I went to the mob museum with my son in Nevada, in Las Vegas, many years ago, and I used to go through, and they had there was actually a story that followed you as you went through.
Okay,
and. They would have to, they gave you a name, a tag that you wore around your neck, and mine was Iceman.
Like they give you a mob nickname?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody got one. Yeah. You went through.
Wow.
And they put an RFD on these tags that you wear. I shouldn't tell you this.
What, you're sworn to secrecy just for going to the museum?
I don't know. Anyways, there's an RFD, a radio frequency device, put into the tag.
Right.
Okay. Now, I read everything. So while we're in line, I'm reading this RFD tag, and I thought, well, that's kind of odd. But you follow this, and there is this video. We chose James Caan to be our host.
And, nice.
So he followed us through. And at one point toward the end, he says, yeah, I got to go do this thing, and this guy's going to talk to you. I looked at my son. I said, take your tag off. Put it over there. So we took our tags off, and we put them on the other side of the room, and then we walked over to the right side, and we waited. And when we did, on the screen, the door flies open, and these guys go, and they're all shooting to where our tags were. Because that had the RFD in it. So that's where they knew where we were at. And we were on the other side of the room, you know, and we walked out, and the guy that took the tour said, we want to talk to you. Come here. And I was like, So now what did we do? So we walk over, and he said, you are the first person in like 5 years who's done this. How did you know this? I said, I read the tag. It said it had an RFD in it. And he said, what is an RFD? And I said, well, it's a radio frequency device, and that tells you where people are at within the organization, you know, within the building.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, okay. So I don't know. They've probably changed it since then, but.
Did he say we could really use a guy like you?
Yeah. It's like, no, don't ever come back. We let you go this time.
All right, let's talk about, you mentioned Jewish mobsters before. Mm-hmm. Lefty Rosenthal was played by Robert De Niro in Casino. Let me ask you this, Bob. What movie do you think encapsulates or gives you the most realistic look at the mob?
None of them, really, because they've all got flaws in them somewhere. That's like...
I'm sure they do, but...
Well, I mean, I love them because of what they show, but none of them can really show everything. If you want to read about it, if you want to read something that will tell you the truth, is get a copy of the book, The Valachi Papers.
You lost me at book.
Okay. Well, maybe they got an audio copy.
Nobody reads anymore. Yeah.
Well, you could between here and your trips to the rich people in Madison, you could listen to. The Valachi papers.
Yeah.
Where I think it's Sam Valachi. I can't remember his first name.
Oh yeah.
He testified before the government.
Right.
The first person ever to testify before the government about the structure and how things were run within the mafia. That's fascinating. I mean, it's just like wow.
They alluded to that. In Godfather 2, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the one where they drown him in the bathtub and Al Pacino shows up at the trial and then he realizes I better not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't they kill him anyway?
They killed Frankie, yeah.
Oh, they killed Frankie. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
But they told him that, you know, if you do this, you take yourself out, you know, we'll take care of your family.
Right. Boy, that's a raw deal.
Yeah. The other thing that's not quite right in The Godfather is that when Michael goes into the restaurant and kills the police captain, which they would never do. That's just way too hot for the mafia.
They don't want that kind of attention.
They would have offed Salazzo. That was no big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have them going to the restaurant and sitting down and talking, and they're going to have a meal. And then he goes into the bathroom and he's got to try and find the gun. And and that would never happen. With the mafia, it's go in, shoot him, be done, and walk out.
I hear what you're saying, but they didn't think he could get in with a gun on him. And I know what you're saying conventional wisdom-wise when it comes to the mob is they would never kill a police captain, but I thought they made it plausible because they own people in the papers and they just they have to expose this guy as a dirty cop. And if they were had that much vengeance in them to do it, like it's believable. It's, whether they do it or not, I don't know, but in the movie, from a screenwriting standpoint, I thought it was plausible.
Oh, I thought it was well done. Yeah. It was very well done. And what does it say about us that our favorite scenes are when they off everybody, you know? But
I just think if these guys would just calm down, they could solve everything with like a thumb war or a leg wrestle or something, you know?
Hug it out kind of thing.
Let's have an arm wrestle and we'll get to the bottom of this. We have about a minute left. 1923, kind of keeping with the mob theme because the mafia was introduced in the show 1923 season two, which just ended without spoiler alerts, even though I already know what happened because I'm an idiot and read something. Overall, you like the show, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because the thing is if you watch any of these Sheridan programs,
Taylor Sheridan,
all of them basically are like Godfather-themed shows.
Right.
They all follow that same string. And I enjoyed it very much. The thing that I enjoyed also as a side note is all of the older actors who are in all of these. Some of the older guys that are in there, I really enjoy seeing them. I like seeing the actors. And now Helen Mirren, who was in 1923, which just ended, is also in the new mob series that we were just talking about.
Oh, right, with Pierce Brosnan and Tom Hardy.
She plays a wife.
So. Okay. Wow. I'll have to check that out. We can discuss that when you come back in. And I have not finished 1923. I'll probably finish it tonight. I like it a lot better than Yellowstone. Yellowstone lost me after season two, but I like the prequels a lot.
They got a lot of hassle because of the things they do with the women in there.
Ladies. In Landman, it was like...
I didn't watch that one.
Ugh, felt gross. Some of it was great, but with the women, the way they wrote the women characters.
Yeah, it was
awful.
Not good.
All right, Bob Dennis, thank you very much as always, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Check out Urban Legends and Stranger Truths podcast and Mob and Mafia News. We'll have Bob back again soon. Always fun to talk, buddy. Have a great night. All right, we're coming right back with Mike Mercury, who is not in the mob, but should be. And he's funny. Even the mob needs some humor once in a while. All right, it's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Jody on Facebook answered our question of the night. She says, The Natural. Great movie. I think probably The Natural or A League of Their Own are probably our two most, or Major League maybe. Probably three.
Or basketball.
I can't believe that. No, that actually technically only got one vote because the other guy was joking. He led us down that path and then gave us the hand. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Peach Waba. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. I'm back on the home court here in Green Bay, beautiful downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide. And it is my pleasure now to welcome a very funny guy. He brings a writing background, a comedy background. He's also one hell of a grocery shopper, and he joins us now over the stream, my pal, Mike Mercury.
Hello, Petey. How are you?
I noticed you took the liberty of saying that you're Ryan Gosling on the Chiron there at the bottom, but
yeah,
I could see it.
There was room for the title in there too, and I put movie star in case anyone was confused. I don't know. I didn't know if anyone would actually see that or not.
You felt like you had to put Ryan Gosling movie star. Yeah. So we had to clarify. First of all, you're not even Ryan Gosling. You used the name, and then you thought people were so stupid they wouldn't know who he was. I love that, Mike.
Right. Well, it's a special. Listen, I'm not the sharpest bulb in the shed. I don't even know what that metaphor is. Pete, did people call you Petey when you were a kid?
Not more than once, Mike. No,
not more than once.
Not really.
Okay.
Occasionally, I get that. Why? Why do you ask?
No, I just wondered. I never knew you as Petey, but I. Somehow when you were a little kid, I thought maybe somebody would call you Petey.
Sometimes when I don't know someone and I sense they have a good sense of humor, it's a little risky, but I'll email them and then I'll sign it. Or I'll say, hey, this is, I was referred by, let's say, Mike Mercury. This is Pete Schwabba. And I'll put in parentheses, Tom and Amy's boy. And, you know, it's weird because I'm in my 50s and people might go, well, I don't need to know that, you know.
Right.
So anyway, Mike, we had a texter earlier who asked if it says, Pete, ask Mike if he ever worked at Kelly's in Middleton, Wisconsin. And this is Tony the trucker, the texter. We get quite a few texts from Tony. He wanted to know this.
I don't know what Kelly's is, but he knows me. Maybe I do have ties to Middleton. I went to Middleton High School where I graduated in the bottom quarter of my class. I'm pretty sure. By the way, your joke earlier when you said you lost me at books, that made me LOL right out loud.
And, I love that you don't even know for sure you were in the bottom quarter, but you're like announcing that you were.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter, whatever.
You're street smart.
It worked out okay. Yeah. And so I don't know that I don't think I worked at Kelly's because I don't know what it is, but I did work. I bartended briefly at the Bowling Green in Middleton, and I was a DJ at the nightclub Rusty's. It was a bar, really, a nightclub, whatever. That was my first job DJing, and we would spin the tunes of the day and crank it up to 10 and blow the roof off the place until, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever the bar time was in those days. Yeah. So maybe that's where the dude from Middleton knows me from.
Yeah. Tony the Trucker, he says, if so, has he ever thought about using the experience in his show? Tony has obviously seen you, and maybe you dealt with a heckler or something, because he's recalling this. So we'll have to ask.
Yeah, I don't know. Tony is worrying me all of a sudden, and it's a good thing that I learned how to join the mob.
It's a good thing you took boxing lessons when you were a kid. Yeah. You used to box in the service. I always love those guys. I did a little boxing in the service.
Right.
That's great. So, all right, Mike, do you have a favorite baseball movie? That's our question of the night.
I don't. I think I've told you before, I watch movies. I like watching movies and good shows. As soon as I'm done, they have left my head pretty much permanently.
Oh.
The other day, this is where my taste in movies lies. I watched a rerun of Three Amigos, which is the only major motion picture that I have a credit on.
Oh, nice.
Because I was not as a performer. I was a production assistant on Three Amigos in 86. Nice. I don't know. So the baseball movies, I've seen The Natural. I've seen Tom Hanks one. I don't remember any details. I've seen them. I like them. Do I have a favorite? I wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Thanks for playing along, Mike.
I'm terrible at this stuff. I know that doesn't make for good radio, but that it is what it is.
I couldn't tell if you didn't like
terrible.
I couldn't tell if you didn't like baseball or movies. I don't know.
And no, then you finally... I played baseball. I Little League. I was in Little League baseball, but I was literally the kid who stood out in right field daydreaming while baseball soared over his head. When I was 10 years old, I was playing baseball, and during the game, I was writing my speech for winning an Academy Award. Yeah.
There was a kid I was coaching when my son was, 10. And he had a teammate, the kid we put in right field, and the ball never went out there. It was coach pitch. And finally, he gets this hot liner to right field, and this kid is so freaked out, he lifts his glove to get the ball. And I swear to God, 4 pounds of grass fall out of his glove. Like, he's just out there filling his glove with grass. It was such a beautiful moment. It was great. All right, Mike Mercury is here. He's got a lot of stuff he needs to get off his chest. We're going to do that next. And I have clarification, Mike. I'll put this in your head, and we'll talk about it when we come back after the news. Right. Tony the Trucker says, tell Mike, my mistake, the place was called Rusty's, and he tended bar there. So we'll get into that after the news.
Okay.
Mike Mercury is here, Madison-based stand-up comic and writer, having fun here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, your host for this evening's program. Steady Eddie checks in with a text that says, Pete, for me, Field of Dreams was just a little corny and just a bit outside. Major League, starring Bob Uecker, was hilarious, and right down Wisconsin Avenue. Good point, Steady Eddie. He says, and though I haven't seen it yet, I understand just a bit outside is a grand salami home run. That's all I got for Nightlight tonight, Pete. So it's time for me to get up, and get out of here. Gone for Steady Eddie. Is that what Uecker used to say?
Yeah.
Mike, does that sound familiar?
Yes, indeed. And now that Steady Eddie mentioned it, Field of Dreams, that's my favorite baseball movie ever.
There you go.
Steady Eddie.
Yeah. Steady Eddie is a resourceful guy and very helpful. Did you see The Sandlot, Mike? That was mine.
Adam Sandler, maybe. David Spade, like a bunch of kids, huh? No, that's some other baseball
movie.
That's
some other baseball movie you're thinking of.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, so Tony the Trucker thought he got mixed or he got confused or sent the wrong thing. He says, tell Mike my mistake, Rusty's. It was Rusty's where he tended bar. Kelly's was the local hamburger joint. So do you remember Rusty's?
Yeah, I worked at Rusty's. That's why I DJ'd at Rusty's. And now that it's all coming together, I remember Tony. He was a big, handsome, strong hunk of a man.
Wow.
And even if he wasn't, you know, who could be upset by that description?
Very well said. And thank you, Tony. On the stream, Dave says Field of Dreams for me. Then he said Hot Mike. You know, Dave, I think to me, I like when people can kind of hear during the break the goings-on of the ambience at the radio station. And that's what I'll say, even though we probably just forgot to hit a switch or something. Mike Mercury is here, ladies and gentlemen. He is a Madison-based stand-up comedian, very funny guy, and a great writer, too. You sounded like you had a lot you wanted to get to, Mike. And you said I should just ask you what's up. Oh, I can't hear you now, Mike. Mike's got the floor and I can't hear him. Is your mic off?
Yeah, I think he accidentally muted his mic.
I want to call him Ryan Gosling because he has Ryan Gosling on his. You took something out of your ear and then we missed you, Mike. Maybe the earbuds. Wouldn't be the earbuds though, would it?
I think he accidentally muted himself.
So Mike Conrad thinks you muted yourself. That sounds obscene.
I see it.
There you go.
I don't know how that happened. My apologies.
Oh, that's all right.
I am technologically advanced, I don't know how that happened.
It was just fun to see the name Ryan Gosling while you were searching for the the on button for your mic. So what is going on? You got something on your mind tonight. It sounds like you're here on the perfect night.
Yeah, nothing. I don't have anything specific. I've been busy. It's a busy time of year.
Oh, great.
By the way, I'm going to throw in a plug. I'm heading up your way. I'll be driving through Marinette on Thursday, but I'll be in Friday night. I'll be at Bay Mills Casino way out in the UP. It's an easy 4-hour drive from Green Bay. So come on over.
What?
Yeah, that's right. It's
4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. So it's no big deal. Just come on over. It's a show. It's Eastern time zone. So you got to leave an hour early. Yeah.
What city in the UP is that in? Is that like Marquette?
It's not a city. It's on a Native American reservation, if I'm not mistaken, on the bay of, it's Lake Superior, and there's a bay that comes off of that. Maybe it's called Mills because the little village is Bay Mills, and it's a casino, and they have gambling and alcohol and all the things that people up there love.
Yeah.
And they love to do.
And
before you go there, you stop at the weed store, and then you can get high and drunk and gamble all at once because that's what voters want.
Or just go in there and empty your pockets out and leave and save yourself the time.
Yeah.
So when is that, Mike? That's exciting.
That's Friday. Friday night. This Friday night, April, whatever that day is. April, I don't know, 10th, so 11th, be, 12th,
probably
something.
The 9th or 10th. I think it's the 10th.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So I've been getting, in fact, I was doing some planning today, and I thought maybe today I should go to the gym. And then I was like, I am in no shape to go to the gym. I would have to get into shape to get into shape. So I did not go to the gym. Instead, you know what I did? Because the Girl Scouts came around, we still get people coming to our house and there's, you know, it's Girl Scout cookie time. So I ate Girl Scout cookies and they're delicious as ever. They seem to have been victimized by the shrinkflation of the mint cookies are now roughly the size of a quarter. But the good news is, one serving size is approximately one box. So you could just eat. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just eat them.
It's like a sleeve of cookies is one serving size.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I don't normally eat a whole sleeve of cookies. I'm trying to be healthy. And I watch, you know, I'm not the most well-informed guy, but I've been I get a lot of my information from commercials. That's where I get a lot of my information. And I've been seeing this Jardiance commercial over and over. Have you seen the Jardiance commercial?
No.
They have. Yeah, it's a medication for, I think it's for diabetes, if I'm not mistaken. And they have very high tech, big production commercials. It's got a whole cast of big people that are happy, and they dance and they sing along, and they have their own song, and they look so damn happy. It looks like so much fun. Every time I see one, I'm like, God damn it, I wish I had type 2 diabetes. I really, because I can't believe how much fun they're having. And so I'm working on that. So I'm going to get another box of Girl Scout cookies and see if I can get some Jardiance.
Some traction. That's the funny part is, like, I feel that way with insurance commercials. Like, the insurance industry is basically the mafia. It's a racket. It's you're paying for protection. And, you know, when something happens, they say, well, you know, maybe we'll cover it. It's like, wait a minute. What? Okay. But Geico and these insurance companies, it's like, God, people are having so much fun with their insurance company. I have USAA, and it's like, you know, it's a very boring company. I think I'm missing the boat.
Yeah, everything in TV land is super fun and energetic and full of surprises, but happy surprises.
Right. Do you, Mike, do you feel sorry for billionaires?
Um, I, Wait, was that a serious question?
That was based on your Substack. And I'm with you. I hear a lot of billionaires complaining, regardless of which side of the aisle. They can't catch a break.
Yeah, they can't catch a break. No, I listen, it's the billionaires. So I've probably, in my Substack, which, by the way, you can find it, I think mikemercury.substack.com. The last few months, or probably since last fall, I've definitely gotten a little more political than I like to be.
Okay.
And when I say that, it's because the politics has become so dominating in everything last 6 months or whatever. I mean,
it's reality
more
TV.
Than ever.
Yeah.
It's reality TV, and you cannot avoid it as much as I try to avoid it. I will go for a week maybe without watching the news at all, just to try and avoid some of the stuff, because I find things, upsetting in
sure.
some regards and tiresome and redundant and whatever. And I don't like all the players, but I turned on the news last night, the local news. I thought the local news, that'll be safe enough. And I tuned in a little late. I tuned in just in time to see the weather report, and the guy, the weatherman, was it's severe weather awareness week this week in the state or in the country, I think. So the weatherman was describing the differences between a watch and a warning by comparing them to tacos and their readiness to eat. This is absolutely true, and I watched it. I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen on local TV. And that's, that's saying something. Afterwards I went to bed. I'm like, oh my God, we're so dumb that they have to show us pictures of tacos in order to grasp the concept of what a tornado watch might be, when to go to the basement. And then I got up this morning and it still bothered me. So I went and did a search on Google. If you search taco watch, taco warning, and it turns out that there were hundreds of results from all over the country.
Wow.
Other weather station, other TV weathermen, weather people, and media outlets have been using the exact same graphic with the tacos to help people understand the differences for years. This has been going on for years. And I saw that and I was like, I found a Reddit comment, whatever. I don't know what they call the Reddit, a Reddit thread. And some of the Redditors were commenting about how they had seen this taco comparison, and it, for the first time in their lives, helped them to understand the difference between a watch and a warning. And I went, oh my God, Darwin was wrong, because these people,
wow.
Yeah, it's helping dumb people stay alive.
We have the graphic up that you used on your Substack,
yeah, that's
Mike.
It.
Yeah,
that's it right there.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I could figure out the difference between a watch and a warning. I'm pretty sure I had that figured out by the time I was about 9.
Is that like one of those, it's 3 tacos, we need to get to the basement. Like, you're right. It's so insulting. Like, how stupid are we?
Oh my God.
Wow. Did they explain how they got the tacos or why they use tacos?
No. So I missed the first part of it. So perhaps there was some setup. Maybe the guy, it was tongue in cheek. Hey, this is pretty funny. But after I discovered that this has been in widespread use for multiple years all over the country, I was like, oh no, this is no accident. This is a well choreographed, the Department of Stupidity, whatever department that is, decided they should issue this as a way to help people not get killed in a tornado or something. I don't know. It's unbelievable.
I could also backfire and say, no, if we eat tacos, it's cool. We don't have to go to the basement, because apparently if we eat tacos, yeah. then we're yeah. safe. Like, yeah. And if they think we're that yeah. stupid, that's not much of a leap to think people could actually think that.
Right.
Hey, you had a gig in Waukegan you wrote about too. We converted the casino or something. I thought that was really funny.
Oh yeah, it was in Waukegan. It wasn't a converted casino. It was a place that got that they, you know, that the whoever owns it got a permit to build a casino, and then they were sued. They were sued by a Native American group in Wisconsin who also wanted to build a casino in the general vicinity. I think they wanted to put theirs in Beloit. This one was in Waukegan. So they sued them. So instead, the people in Waukegan threw up basically an inflatable tent because they wanted to get theirs open right away and start bringing in some income while they settled the lawsuit. And anyway, they've settled the lawsuit apparently, and this one in Waukegan won. And now they're going to build a real place, but it takes several years. And so anyway, it was basically in the parking lot across the street from a Walmart. It looked like a giant, you know, those big white plastic tubes that farmers store their silage in. It looked like that, just higher up in the air. And inside it was a full blown casino with people, you know, drinking and gambling and carrying on. And they came to a comedy show, and they had set up a temporary wall. Basically, it was like a vinyl wall to divide the room into a showroom, so you could hear everything happening out in the casino. Just, you know, you're telling a joke, I was clang clang clang, ding 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 ding, waitress, you know, just ridiculous stuff. And oh, I'd be doing a joke and I'd hear a drunk guy yelling, "Show me the money," you know, like his only. Yeah, he's still using references from a 1995 Tom Cruise movie or whenever that was.
Screams comedy. We're going to do a very short break, and we'll come back with a few more minutes with Mike Mercury. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Peach Wabba. We are in the home stretch here with our friend Mike Mercury. Tom from New Berlin says, "Mr. Baseball, we love Japan." I don't know that movie, Tom, but we did Google it. Conrad and I discussed it, and there must be a Japan reference in there we don't get, but that's a Tom Selleck movie from Tom. And then Brian from Green Bay says, "With your bumper, I still wake up at night thinking people owe me for my paper route for the Eagle Herald and the Journal Sentinel in Marinette. I have not had a paper route for 35 years. You must be doing okay, Brian." I still have mine. yeah, we should maybe retire that bumper for a little bit, Conrad. Let's put it on pause. We'll snooze it for 30 days, as they say.
Hey, I'm just going to do the sex one.
Every
single night.
You already are. So, but Brian, I don't want Brian to have post-traumatic stress from his paper route. I totally understand where he's coming from. Folks, Mike Mercury is here, and tomorrow night on the show, we have, who do we have, Conrad? We've got Tim Schweigel, filmmaker and activist for Incentive Wisconsin, the Film Incentives Crew. Tim is very active in that. And then Rob Thomas, from Madison, will join us tomorrow night at 7:20. We got a whole Madison thing going here, Mike. There's a lot of you people. I got to have them all on the show.
And Rob Thomas knows a thing or two about movies. I know nothing. He knows every movie. He probably know that Tom Selleck movie. I had not heard of that one either.
Yeah, I kind of remember it, but I kind of don't. But what are you watching anything on TV you could recommend? Are you a binge watcher, Mike?
Well, you know what? We were just my wife and I were just talking about it, because I sort of have gotten to the point where I kind of prefer the binge watching as opposed to where they drop an episode and then you have to wait a week. When we were kids, that's how everything was. You would watch one half hour, or if it was a comedy, or an hour if it was a drama, probably. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have to wait a whole week. And so I like to binge watch. That said, we just watched the recent third season of White Lotus, which you cannot binge watch. You can now.
You can now.
You finished. It finished on Sunday.
I was waiting for that reason. I want to watch them all if I want to watch them. Yeah. So I held off, and now I kind of have heard stuff. But what was your take on the season?
So this is the benefit of not having a great memory for the detail, because season one and two, I remember them being good and enjoyable and funny and all those things, but I don't really remember enough details. So this season I'm watching three and I'm like, I think I like this one best. And it was mainly because that's what I was watching now. I think that's the only reason, because my wife and son both said they thought that the either one or two were better seasons overall. I think, and that's fairly common though, especially when you have a new series. There's a new series of something or a new movie that's good. The first time you see it, there's the novelty that is there. And by the time you see the third season or the third sequel or whatever, that novelty doesn't exist anymore. And so it's just got to be, the material has to be so strong to be compelling, to be as compelling as it was the first season or first movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I finished season two. For whatever reason, I put it off for well over a year, and I did laugh at Jennifer Coolidge, just the way she died after killing all those guys to protect her fortune and not give it to her husband. And then her last words in life were, "You've got this," and she tried to jump into the boat and conked her head. That's not funny, but I laugh because it's so dark, and it's just so, I did not see that coming. All she had to do was stay on the boat and wait to be rescued. And she'd still have $500 million. So I love the writing on that show. But where would you rank the third season, Mike, comparatively to the other two?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it was good to me. I think that was Jennifer Coolidge, that storyline, that was season two primarily.
Yeah.
Because she was in season one, but she really owned season two.
Yes.
So I think season two would be the top one. This season three, there's some great acting, as always, some great writing, some terrific characters. It's super interesting.
Yeah.
But it just, maybe it doesn't feel quite as fresh as it did in season one or whatever. So
I totally get that.
I liked it a lot.
Tony, the trucker says, Mike described me to a T. If he ever becomes famous enough to need a bodyguard, I'm all in. He is. He's Ryan Gosling, Tony. Mike, this was fun. Thank you as always, buddy. Good luck. You can see Mike up at the Bay Mills Casino Friday the 10th. That's this Friday. And it's
this
up
Friday,
on Lake Superior. I actually look for it on a map. They don't really, on their website, they don't really say what town they're in. Unless it's called Bay Mills, which could be.
There's a little village, and I think the village is Bay Mills.
Okay.
And it used to be that the Google map would drive you right into the lake, so hopefully it's been updated.
Well, if there's an empty stage, we'll know what happened. Mike, knock him dead, blow the roof off the joint, and come back and see us real soon, buddy. Always fun.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Conrad. Say hi to your mom.
Good night, Ryan. He didn't mean that. He meant because your mom texts the show. He wasn't trying to make a your mom joke. But you know what? I wouldn't put that past Mike. He's that kind of guy. He used to talk about my mom all the time. And we had an arm wrestle and then a leg wrestle, and we figured it out. Hey, thank you to Mike Mercury and Bob Dennis and all of you for your texts and calls. Always fun here on Nightlight, and always so fun when you guys participate. We'll be back tomorrow night with more fun on Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.